from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
Line to left center, a base hit. Cubs are on the board. Coming in to score is Bush. Bellinger goes to third on a run-scoring single by Seiya Suzuki. Cubs lead 1-0. Deep drive to left center field. Get out the tape measure. Long gone. Christopher Morel with a long home run to left center. And the Cubs now lead 6-0. No doubt about that one. He swings and misses and the ball game is over. Neris gets the strikeout. Cubs get the win. Jameson Taillon chalks up the victory. And the Cubs have evened up this series against New York with a relatively easy 8-1 win.
Mickey Lopez turns on it. It's a fair ball into that right field corner. DeJong will come in and score. They're going to wait. No, they're going to hold Corey Lee, the late break sign. And RBI double for Nicky Lopez as the Sox take a 2-0 lead in the fourth. This one hit well to left. Corey Lee, it is out of here.
That's the one I talked about earlier in the at-bat. You get one up in the air to left field, and there's nothing going to keep it in the park. That was a blast.
Here's the payoff.
Strike three called. And that's your ball game. Drew Thorpe, congratulations. Your first big league win as the White Sox take game two in this series, 5-1.
As happy as all of us were with the finale, that last pitch, a called strike. Nobody happier than Drew Thorpe.
It's time for Hit and Run with your host, Matt Spiegel.
Good morning, everybody. On June the 23rd, 2024, we greet you after a Cubs and White Sox shared victory Saturday. Let's effing go. Good morning, everyone. Sing along with the low brass. Now, it is Hit and Run on a Sunday morning right here on 670 The Score. I am here with you and you are here with me. Let's have some fun. Let's talk some baseball all through the morning up until 12 o'clock. A lot to do today. Bob Costas is going to be on this very show. I have talked to Bob a few times before. I've enjoyed him very much, as I'm sure you have. I know he's everywhere right now, and it's a good time to be Bob Costas, a good time to have Bob Costas on this show. We'll talk, obviously, some Willie Mays, as some of the conversations that have continued this week have just been really, really nice to be a part of, the greatest living ball player conversations. You know what I feel like? I feel like Willie Mays' passing gave us one final gift as baseball fans. And maybe it's a gift that's, you know, that was already partially given. But boy, having a few days here to continue focusing on him and thinking about him and thinking about what we love about the game, what we love about the history of the game, has been really nice. It's just, I got to be honest, from a psychological perspective, I have enjoyed in the idle time these past few weeks just kind of let the mind wander about Willie and greatness and center fielders and more. So we'll talk to Bob about that and, of course, about how today is the 40th anniversary of the Sandberg game. Craziness. 40 years from today, going backwards, we get to that game. And obviously, Ryan Sandberg's statue getting unveiled today at 3 p.m. I'll be heading over to Wrigley after the show, looking forward to just kind of watching, listening, soaking it in. That, of course, open to the public there at Gallagher Way. I imagine it's going to be swimming with people and going to be an absolute madhouse. So I may just use the press pass, get in, and exist on the upper levels of Wrigley there. Just kind of look out the back and watch it from above and take it in that way. and just soak it up. Should be a very, very special day. We will talk to Colton Brewer, who is the most recent Cub to get a save. So if we're going by that metric, that means he's the closer, right? Is that what we do? Is that how we count that? Colton Brewer's been around for a while, man. Dude is in his 30s. He's been a Red Sox player. He's been a Yankee player. He's played in Japan. He's got legit stuff. Let's talk to him about life as an MLB vagabond of sorts and an opportunity that may or may not be ahead of him right now as he is in the big leagues. We will talk to Colton Brewer. Lawrence Holmes, our friend Lawrence Holmes. You know Lawrence from such shows as The Lawrence Holmes Show or The House of L Podcast or The Bernstein and Holmes Show. I saw Lawrence last night at the comedy show of our friend Roy Wood Jr. What a great night that was to see Roy and then to hang out with Roy a little bit after the show. And I was thinking about Lawrence because of Rickwood and some of the conversations he and I have had on the air, off the air, about the Negro Leagues and about the incredible event Thursday night at Rickwood. And because I know Lawrence is filled with a righteous anger regarding Dick Allen. And I was reading some stuff this week that got me righteously angry about Dick Allen. And I realized that I need to make sure that all of us are in that space. Because it's there's some serious injustice that has gone on. So I want to give Lawrence a chance to talk about that. Along the way, we will get to Team of the Moment. Who is the Team of the Moment? You know, Stan from Bellwood is wondering. See if he can pick my brain and figure out who it is. I don't think he can. But anyway, we'll do that. We're going to do it later this hour. We never do it in hour number one, but we'll do it in hour number one. And we will throw open the phone lines to you right now at 312-644-6767. That is the BetQL listener line, and that's how you talk to us. We call it the BetQL listener line because bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. We are broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. And along the way, your phone calls, not merely welcome, but elemental to the very completion of the broadcast. So look, a few things to put in your heads as of right now. Okay, looking at the last 2 days for Cubs starting pitchers can be the backdrop for a truism in MLB, a truism as it relates to starting pitchers. By now in the season, people know how you are attacking. It is very important to go against the scouting report at this point in the year, especially if it's a team that you've seen before or a team that knows you particularly well, but really just in general. By now, this is the time of year to really be ready to go next level. And we saw it, frankly, not just with the two Cubs starters, but also with the young White Sox starter who had his third start yesterday, Drew Thorpe, and was really, really good. And he was fun to watch in his debut in Seattle. Then it was an absolute debacle in Thorpe's second start where they were sitting fastball, sitting fastball, sitting fastball. And he was falling behind and getting in counts where he had to go to fastball, and then he was just getting dominated. Yesterday, Drew Thorpe was able to use the changeup a lot more as the game progressed. And that's where he's got to get strong. So he got ahead in counts. He got ahead early going through the lineup, and then he went to the changeup. And that's his strength. So we can talk more about Thorpe later. We'll talk about today's White Sox starter. But I want you to think about the two Cubs starters the past 2 days. Shota Imanaga has been phenomenal all year long and has been principally fastball and splitter. That splitter works off the fastball. It drops down so you get a vertical break. And that's what he has done. He has gotten ahead. He has not walked anybody very much, has Shota Imanaga. Crazy low walk rate. So what did the Mets come out and do on Friday in their second time seeing him? They sat on the fastball. Carlos Mendoza said it after the game. Yeah, we were just looking dead red. And Shota's fastball, he had some location issues on a couple of those home runs. He had a little velocity issue, which scares you a little bit. But in general, they were sitting fastball. It's time, and that was time, for Shota to go next level with different stuff. He's got five pitches. Use that sweeper more. Use the changeup more. Use your curveball more. And I suspect we'll see him do it. Next time, I've been talking about it for a while. Sometimes as a game goes on, Shota will show you the other stuff. The second or third time through the lineup, I've talked about that on this show. He needed to do it from the get-go because those Mets were just sitting and waiting fastball and pouncing. So it's not as easy as I'm describing it. But this is the time of year and the time of Shota's season to mix it up. And then you saw what Jameson Taillon did yesterday. Folks, it is incredible. The number of adjustments that Jameson Taillon made to specific pitches and specific locations yesterday on the strength of his newfound partnership with his first-time catcher, Tomas Nido. You can read all about it, especially at MLB.com. In the piece there written by the great Jordan Bastian, who does a wonderful job on this stuff. And you heard it just in the first inning yesterday, as Taillon was striking out a couple in the first inning. You heard Ron Coomer saying, look at him going against the scouting report, going against the scouting report. Tyone's got a lot of pitches. It's another one of these guys. And that's why I'm thinking Drew Thorpe, too, of the White Sox. He's got a lot of pitches, five pitches. If you have a lot and you're not overpowering and dominant with pure heat, then you got to mix it up. Taillon went fastball, and he went high fastball. After he has been spotting his other stuff, his secondary stuff, on the corners a lot during the course of the year, he was aggressive this time and really went after people. And the fastball is plenty good enough to take people and make them swing and miss, especially at the top of the zone, especially if they're sitting on breaking stuff on the low part and in the corners of the zone. Remember, I always think of what Warren Spahn said, which Greg Maddux parroted, which Kyle Hendricks has used, which, like all these different pitchers swimming in, have lived with the same ethos. Warren Spahn said, pitching, he said hitting is timing. And pitching is upsetting timing. Just mess with their effing timing, people. Mess with their timing. Get them sitting on something and give them something else. That is the super fun cat and mouse game of pitching, not just within a game, but within a season. And you saw Taillon go against his own scouting report yesterday, and he had his best start as a Cub. Saw Shota go right to his scouting report on Friday, and this is the time of year to mix it up. So, look, let's discuss. Nice sign there for the Cubs to see Taillon that good. But we're in a weird spot, man. We're in a weird spot in terms of MLB. I mean, look at the standings. For a while, it has been this way, where there's been like nine teams between four games under 500 and 500 in the National League. Nine different teams. Now, today, there are two more teams over 500. So there's been only four. Now there's six. The Phillies are the best team in baseball at 50-26. Apologies to the Yankees, but I still think it's the Phillies. Best team in the game right now. The Dodgers are, you know, have been good all year, and Shohei Ohtani has been unbelievable, especially the last couple days. The Dodgers are 17 over 500. The Brewers are 11 over 500. The Braves are 10 games over 500. And joining them now, two more teams over 500, it's the St. Louis Cardinals at 38-37, having won seven of their last 10, and the San Diego Padres at 41-40, who have won four in a row and find themselves a game over 500. So now there's six, but there is a big, messy middle. There's a big, ugly morass. It's my word of the week of teams right there in the middle, and the Cubs are still towards the bottom of that messy morass in the middle, 37-40, three games under 500. This month is when they're supposed to make their push. 25 straight this month against teams under 500. To date, the Cubs are 9-10. It's not good enough. Six more games to go against teams under 500. One more with the Mets and then the Giants. And look, You've got this chance here with just, actually it's five more. So five more with the Mets tonight and then four against the Giants. And there was the one against the Reds just before the beginning of the month. That's the 25 games in a row string under 500. So 9-10, and they've got to do better. Because after that, then you've got at Milwaukee and home for the Phillies to round out June and to go into July. Those are real teams, folks. July includes a road trip to Baltimore. It includes a road trip to St. Louis. It includes home games against the Diamondbacks, who are starting to play a little bit better. It includes a road trip to the Royals and home for the Brewers, home for the Cardinals, home for the Twins as we head into August. This is the month where you got to make hay. And they're 9-10 against these teams. Not good enough. Is there time? Yes. But man, it is right now. Time is right the hell now. I've been thinking of Elton John this morning. And I think of Elton John a decent amount, actually. Because, I mean, he's absolutely brilliant and there's so much good music. But here's why I'm thinking of Elton John. Because on the 40th anniversary of the Sandberg game, I realized several years ago when the Elton John movie came out, and I was thinking about that a lot, and I had lived in L.A. for a couple years and had seen a couple of concerts at the Troubadour, the famed rock club, the Troubadour, in Los Angeles. And when Elton John showed up in 1970 and played at the Troubadour, the story was, and like the legend goes, that the next day, everybody who was anybody knew about Elton John. And that is a comp I have made to Ryne Sandberg about his game 40 years ago today. A comp I have made to Bob Costas about that game 40 years ago today. Because the next day after that Sandberg game on a Saturday on NBC, a national game where he homered twice against Suter and extras, everybody in baseball knew about Ryne Sandberg and was talking about Ryne Sandberg. So I'm thinking about Elton John, and specifically I'm thinking about this track from his debut album, Bad Side of the Moon, because apparently... Because apparently Elton was like kind of pissed off that the crowd wasn't really responding at the Troubadour. And he said, maybe you'll listen to this. And he played this one. And this is one of so many badass Elton tracks on that record and on several of those early records. And Rhino, 40 years ago today, feels a hell of a lot like Elton John more than 50 years ago today. A legend forever and a touchstone forever for music conversations, just like Rhino is a touchstone forever for baseball conversations. So let that be the backdrop, since it's in my head as well. Good morning, everybody. Let's talk baseball the next 3 hours. Bob Costas in 2 hours. Lawrence Holmes, top of the next hour. Your phone calls and texts all hour long here as we get rolling on Hit and Run on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
The premier baseball show in Chicago. Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel.
JD laces that one to deep center field, and it's out of here. A bullet of a shot for JD Martinez. A three-run home run and three batters into this one. The Mets up 3-0.
I was talking to Carlos Mendoza and Glenn Sherlock before the game. They could not rave more about J.D. Martinez.
Ground ball. Nice grab by Lindor. The hop throw, and he got him. Wow! Francisco Lindor working his magic up the middle. Everything going right for the Mets this afternoon.
It was the team of the moment, offering entertainment. The team of the moment, they caught our eyes.
Ah, yes, the New York Mets. have been absolutely on fire. They were 22-33 on the 29th of May. They went 14-5 thereafter before losing to Jameis and Tyon yesterday. So 14 of 19 they have won. Seven in a row they won at one point. It was 8 of 9 on both ends of that. It's been a very, very hot stretch for the New York Mets. Offensively for the Mets in this month of June, in terms of OPS, third overall behind the Orioles and the Twins, who've also been very hot. In terms of runs scored this month, they are fourth overall in runs scored. The offense has been absolutely great. There are some serious dudes on that team. And it apparently looks like they are doing everything they can to avoid a sell-off. And that's the narrative as to why they are the team of the moment as well. Look, they've been playing well. They're in town. It's been absolutely outrageous. I mean, Friday's game was the fourth time in the 9 games previous that they'd scored 10 runs or more. 10 runs or more! Just exploding on people. So what does that mean? Are they going to trade Pete Alonso? Are they going to trade J.D. Martinez? Are you going to trade Jose Quintana, Sean Manaea, Harrison Bader, Starling Marte, Jeff McNeil, Sean Reed Foley, Adam Ottavino, Reed Garrett, Drew Smith, Jake Diekman, all of these people, and you know some of the names, and maybe you have questions about whether any of them are valuable or not. But they've got a lot of people on expiring contracts. Alonso, Martinez, Luis Severino, Jose Quintana, Bader, Smith, and Ottavino are all on expiring contracts. What if they're not sellers? Then what kind of market is this? If the Mets are not sellers, what are we supposed to do? There might be no starting pitcher of true consequence out there other than Garrett Crochet. And I don't think he should be out there for the White Sox.
What are we doing here?
I don't know. I don't know, Chuck. Here's the deal. As the Mets are playing well at this moment in June, it's clear that Stearns and Cohen are going to give them a chance to play their way into relevance and away from selling. So they're right there with all these other teams. And the truth is, they're freaking good. And some of those dudes would be incredible. So the Mets playing like they don't want any part of a sell-off, and we'll see if they get forced to do that or not. There's a couple of dudes who would look awfully good for the Cubs, but you thought you'd hit this moment with the Cubs as a clear buyer and the Mets as a clear seller, and that's not where we are. Let's talk to the Oreo informant on 670 The Score. It is me, Matt Spiegel. It is Hit and Run. Phone lines are open for Cubs stuff, Sox stuff, and everything else, especially here in hour number one. What do you say, O.I.?
Hey, Speaks. It's been a while. How you doing?
I am wonderful, man. Thanks for calling. Are you still a viable Oreo informant? Can you give us any hint as to new flavors, or have they used all of them at this point?
Not anymore. That's long gone at this point.
It's a lifetime ago.
Still a connoisseur.
Okay, good. Well, that's good to know. Good to know.
So, as far as baseball goes, and I'll kind of tie this into the Mets a little bit. With the Mets not wanting to sell, most likely Pete Alonso, does that make a better market for Andrew Vaughn when the White Sox decide to start flipping? Now, he's obviously not Pete Alonso, but he's come around the past couple weeks. He has been hitting better. And then on top of that, you know, the White Sox have some young arms that are looking all right. As far as pitchers of consequence, I would say you're right with Crochet being the real only good trade piece out there, but we gotta flip Fetty. He's been too good, and he's on a pretty good deal, so hopefully we can get some stuff there. And then Thorpe and Cannon have obviously had their bright spots as well, and then I'm hoping in 2 or 3 years, you know, we might see Schultz, who's currently blanking everyone in AA, up for a nice 2-3 in a 2-3 pitcher spot maybe for us behind Crochet and maybe one of the other young guys that's staying.
Look at the Oreo informant zooming out as a White Sox fan must, seeing future, seeing pieces. Look, I'll tell you, I don't think that White Sox pitching decency is as far away as he just described. I think if you can squint, you can kind of see it, frankly. Cannon's going today, and Cannon was terrific last time out. Let's hear from Jonathan Cannon, by the way, who was on Inside the Clubhouse yesterday. He was really good, went 8 2/3 last game, understood that he was not going to be left in, but he was talking about what has been working well for him the last three outings. This is a dude that we should be paying some attention to. He'll pitch today. Here's him talking about it from being on with Bruce and with David yesterday.
I think number one is refining the pitches a little bit. I thought when I came up, the stuff wasn't as sharp as it could have been, and I thought that it stuck out a lot just when it came to facing the lefties. I mean, I think righties were hitting like 150 against me, and lefties were hitting like north of 500, which isn't sustainable at all. So I knew that I had to refine something to be able to get those lefties out. And it really came down to just a couple minor grip tweaks. I'm not trying to throw another pitch or do anything completely different. It was just kind of making little minor adjustments. And I think that's just the name of the game, is you see what's working, what's not working, and you have to adjust a lot mid-season. And I was able to make that adjustment down in Charlotte and come back up and starting to see some success with it. Now it's just about consistency.
All right. So look, Cannon has shown you some real decency and consistency, and a smart, smart dude. Drew Thorpe has a deep cachet of pitches and a plus changeup that's going to make everything else play up. Garrett Crochet is an ace. He's a flat out ace. I wouldn't trade Crochet. I mean, you've got those three young dudes. I mean, Cannon and Thorpe are, if I don't know that they're top of the rotation dudes, but they're solidly threes. You got an army of threes and one ace. That's a rotation. And there could be more coming. I wouldn't undo any of that with a Crochet trade. They need position players who can hit and play some defense, but really like have the opportunity to develop. I wouldn't trade Andrew Vaughn. He's not an unrestricted free agent until 2027. I know he's been stinking, but has been turned it on a little bit more. I would trade Luis Robert and get a pile of position players. Get as many as you can. And, a few lottery ticket arms to go along with, sure. Get 4 to 5 players, probably 5, at least 2 top 100 prospects, maybe 2 top 50 prospects. I don't know that you're going to get it because the whole league is not very positive about Luis Robert staying healthy, and they want it to be proven. I think this year's 60 days on the injured list was the most recent 60 days on the injured list that scared off a lot of teams. But I would not deal Crochet, and I think if you can squint, you can see a young White Sox rotation starting to put its pieces together. Let's go to Brad in Rockford on 670 The Score. Hello, Brad. Welcome in. Good morning.
Morning, Matt. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to share, I was at the Ryan Sandberg game in person. I was actually 12 years old at the time.
Wow.
I got lucky. My best friend's mom decided she didn't want to go to the game, so my friend called me Friday night and said, hey, do you want to go to this game with my dad and my little brother? And then the thing I remember about the game is it was the NBC game of the week. The Cubs were down early. I think it was like 9-3. NBC cut away from the game. I don't know if you remember this, but Bob Costas gave Willie McGee the MVP before the game was over, and they cut away to boxing. And the Cubs do this massive comeback. Sandberg homered in the 9th and the 10th. Wrigley Field was shaking. I'll never forget that. The second home run that Sandberg hit, that stadium was shaking. And that just set up, you know, his MVP year, his Hall of Fame career. He's my favorite player. And I just always remember that game is the most extraordinary thing in sports I've ever seen. Bob Costas has said, Matt, that regular season game is the best regular season baseball game in history. And I think it is. And then just one last thing, you know, if people don't remember Bruce Sutter or don't know him, the idea that Sandberg hit 2 home runs off him would be like if Sandberg hit 2 home runs off Mariano Rivera in his prime. I mean, it was just like the most extraordinary thing.
Yeah, it's good stuff, Brad. Thanks for all the context and the memory for you of being there. And then obviously through the years, some of the storylines have locked in for your head and locked in for a lot of others. And we'll talk to Costas in about 90 minutes. It's pretty cool. Yeah, Suter was devastating. While Mariano would devastate with the cutter, the cut fastball that bore in on the hands of the left-hander and went away from the righty, and that's really the only pitch he ever had to throw, Bruce Suter would dominate with the split-fingered fastball, and he put his thumb on the bottom of the fastball and spin his thumb as he threw the pitch, and it made it unique, and it was absolutely devastating. While it's an interesting comp in terms of the domination of a closer, and a good one at that, it's even harder to homer off of Suter because of that splitter just diving down, the ability to get underneath that splitter. But now you're making me want to look at the stats. Home runs per nine innings. Home runs per at bat for Suter and Mariano Rivera. Now you're making me want to look at that and wonder about the comp of the accomplishment. This is Mike in Mendota, Illinois, who's joining Hit and Run this morning on 670 The Score. What's up, Mike?
Good morning, Matt. With the Ryan Sandberg celebration this weekend and the passing of Willie Mays, I got in a real nice discussion with my oldest son about who might be on the Mount Rushmore of baseball, and I put Willie Mays on there. I'm 67, and I saw him play a little bit on TV when I was just a little kid.
Can we just pause for a second, Mike? You and your son having a conversation about a baseball Mount Rushmore, that's exactly what I was talking about in segment one of like one more gift from Willie of this happening this week surrounding the game in Rickwood, and this week where the NBA finals are done, Stanley Cup finals are not. Monday should be interesting. But, you know, football teams are on a break. We've got time and space for these conversations. I love that. Continue. So who's on your Mount Rushmore? I haven't heard it discussed in baseball terms in that way. Go ahead.
Well, I'm more interested in yours. You're the historian, and I consider you an expert historian on baseball, but on mine would be Mays, Ty Cobb, a little bit grudgingly, Barry Bonds, and maybe Babe Ruth, Pete Rose might be on there. You know, it's going to be tough to narrow this down to four. That's why I'm going to you as the historian. But my son has no recollection of Willie Mays, obviously. I mean, he's 28 years old, so it's kind of hard to have this discussion with a young kid. But
yeah. You just got to do your work, man. You got to queue up some highlights. You got to choose some good writings. There's been a lot of that this week. You know, it's interesting. I think one of the cool things about your son even being involved in the conversation is like you don't need to have seen Willie to be able to picture him. Joe Posnanski wrote it this week. You can see him even if you never saw him. And that's been swimming around my head all week. I love that. You can see him even if you never saw him. I never saw him. I never saw him in person. But I can see him. I can see him running back for that catch against Vic Wirtz. I can see the basket catch. I can see the hat flying off as he you know, hurdles himself around the bases. So I love that. God, a Mount Rushmore. So I only get four baseball players in the history of the game. And they all have to be imbued with that specialness, that awe. I'm not putting Bonds up there. Are you kidding me? No way. Due respect to Barry, who was a great player before the amplification. I can't just ignore the amplification. I know everybody had something. But my God, if I got to do that, I think I got to get Mantle up there. I think as a pure five tool, another center fielder, and I know it's a similar era. All right, so I go Mantle, Mays. For me, it's Ted because there's never a better hitter and there's never going to be a better hitter. So I'd say those three, and I probably got to put the Babe, but how do I not do Hank? What the hell, man? This is too hard.
Not a statue spot.
I know. I'm gonna need to double my Rushmore so I can get Griffey in there. Probably Ricky Henderson too. This is Ben in Queens on 670 The Score. What do you say, Ben?
the Mets cannot win today, I will never be able to let it down.
Okay, you know. Ben lives in Queens. He's a Cubs fan. I imagine this is a tough series for you to walk around the neighborhood.
Oh man, Friday, that was horrible. Thank God I was adulting. I didn't have to watch most of the game. But anyway, listen, I want to talk about Kyle Hendricks, man. I don't think people are quite getting the gist of why Kyle Hendricks is getting better. And if you look at the numbers, look, going to the Savant, in 2016 when he had his great year, he threw the sinker 45% of the time and the changeup 27% of the time. His last good year, really 2020, because I think last year was somewhat of a mirage. 2020, he threw the sinker 33% of the time, the changeup 28% of the time, the four-seamer 21% of the time, and the curveball 16% of the time. Since then, you know, he's been changeup heavy 2022, 2023, and this year it's been changeup, and he hasn't been able to locate anything, and he's got tattooed. Okay, he has gotten right. If you go back to June 2nd, this is four outings ago, he threw the sinker 42% of the time, the change 29% of the time, the four-seamer 18%. Curveball 11, three innings, no earned runs. When he came in for Wicks on the 14th, the sinker 40% of the time, the change 26, the curve 21%, the four seamer 14. The last outing against the Giants on the 19th, the sinker 36% of the time, change up 29% of the time, curve 17, four seamer, which is almost identical to his numbers in 2020. It's all about locating that sinker. Another thing, his average mile per hour on the sinker is the fastest it's been since 2016. So he hasn't lost anything. He just hasn't been able to locate it. If he locates that, then everything else is dangerous. If they get him right, he is going to be the key to either the Cubs winning or him being a pretty damn good trade piece. I went to the stadium to watch the Yankees against the Orioles. The Orioles need pitching.
Yeah, they do.
This is, so this is something that they need to watch out. Please win the damn game and the damn – I don't want it to come down to October and the Mets get into the playoffs and the Cubs don't because of the freaking head-to-head. I can't take it.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it, Ben. Interesting numbers. Yeah, I talked about Hendricks the other day, but hadn't dove. God, I hate that. I struggle with that. I'm in my 50s. I communicate for a living, and I still struggle. Haven't dived. It's like, oh, God, will have dived. No, dove. Haven't dove in.
Divinin?
No, it's dove, but I could use dived, right?
I think so.
Stupid English. Our language is ridiculous. There's too many options. But anyway, I used morass in segment one, and so I'm rolling.
I liked it.
Here's the thing. I knew about the changeup rising. His point about the sinker and the sinking fastball and that being what to lean on as opposed to trying to mix people up with changeup too much is great. Because the changeup doesn't quite have enough discrepancy from the fastball to be fully devastating. There's nothing better than a well-located fastball. And his has plenty of movement. It does have plenty of movement. Always has. Some sink, some left to right with that two-seamer. So, yeah, interesting. I love that we are in the midst of what appears to be another chapter for Kyle Hendricks and a crazy long Cubs career. It's really interesting. Good piece by Patrick Mooney today on The Athletic about Kyle being the last man standing includes quotes from Chris Bryant about Kyle being the right guy to be the last guy here from 2016. It is 670 The Score. We'll talk to Lawrence Holmes in about 20 minutes. More of your phone calls and texts along the way right here on 670 The Score. It's Hit and Run.
Got a good curveball. That's what got him drafted.
There's no offseason for Bears talk on The Score.
Jeffrey Chedia from the NFL Network.
I'm excited to see this offense because, you know, I know it's a low bar in that town, but this is probably the best offense they've ever had in Chicago.
You're right. It is a low bar, Jeff. You're familiar with Bears history.
With a new franchise quarterback, a talented group of wide receivers, and a stingy defense, hope is sky high for Bears fans. So keep it on The Score as we follow the top storylines of a monster offseason for the Bears. We are Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. And always live on the free Odyssey app.
This segment is sponsored by Champion Roofing. When it comes to roofing, trust Champion Roofing. Your go-to experts for quality roofs for over 25 years. Repairs, installations, or inspections. They've got you covered. Choose the champions of roofing excellence. Visit championroofing.com or call 847-673-ROOF.
The pros at your neighborhood bumper-to-bumper auto parts store can help keep you on top of trends and innovations in the automotive aftermarket. For example, simplify oil pan repairs with Felpro PermaDry Plus gaskets with SpeedFit technology. They go on clean, install in seconds, and finish the job faster with no RTV mess. Visit your bumper-to-bumper auto parts store and try Felpro PermaDry Plus gaskets with SpeedFit technology for your next project. Or shop online at mybumpertobumperstore.com.
Hey, it's Danny Parkins here. If you're in the market for windows, then you need to call Russ Armstrong, the owner of Chicago Window Guys. They make and install all their own custom products. I just had my windows done, and they are fantastic. Check out his reviews at ChicagoWindowGuys.com. The highest quality custom windows and doors, lifetime warranty on parts and labor, the best prices, fast service. Call the Chicago Window Guys today at 847-881-3060 and get a free quote direct from the owner.
ChicagoWindowGuys.com.
Experience golf, music, magic, and more at the John Deere Classic at TPC Deer Run, July 3rd through the 7th. Wednesday, July 3rd is Youth Day, and ages 15 and under are free all week, making it perfect for the whole family. The fun doesn't stop there. Stick around after play ends on the weekend for the Concerts on the Course series, featuring legendary rockers Counting Crows on Saturday and Grammy Award-winning country superstar Lainey Wilson on Sunday. Come for the golf, stay for the party. Visit JohnDeereClassic.com to get your tickets now.
Don't miss a minute of the action on the diamond with ESPN Bet. The exclusive sportsbook of ESPN is the only place to find offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities, including daily odds boosts and home run specials all season long. New users can get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play. Must be 21 plus. Gambling problem counseling resources available. Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with Hollywood Casino Aurora. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
A slow network is no network for business. That's why more choose Comcast Business. And now we're introducing Ultimate Speed for Business, our fastest plans yet. We're up to 12 times faster than Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. And existing customers could even get up to triple the speeds at no additional cost. All from the company with 99.9% network reliability and advanced cybersecurity. It's Ultimate Speed from Comcast Business, powering possibilities.
Don't miss out on our fastest speed plans yet. Get started with internet and security for $49 a month for 12 months with a 2-year contract when you add one unlimited mobile line. Plus, ask how to get up to an $800 prepaid card with a qualifying gig bundle. Call 1-800-501-6000 or visit ComcastBusiness.com to switch today. In 6/23/24, restrictions apply. New customers only with 300 megabits per second internet and security edge. EcoBell and AutoPay required. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Compares Comcast Business 1.25 gigs to 100 megabit per second 5G internet at Verizon, AT&T, and T-Mobile. Up to 3x downloads for existing essential and standard customers.
All right, so there we were, cruising through the new open-air zoo, when I realized that the park was closing in like 15 minutes. Luckily, we were in my Nissan Rogue. With its powerful V6 turbo engine, well, we had time to see all the animals.
Whoa! And outrun a few!
Drive the Nissan Rogue.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Still figuring out parking on a hybrid work schedule? With Spot Hero, it's already figured out. Visit SpotHero.com or download the free app. Search your office, pick your spot, and reserve with code EASY10 to get 10% off your first park. Spot Hero, where do you park?
Hey, right now you get bonus days to save during Window Nation's semi-annual sale now through June 30th. Getting quality, affordable windows, a really big deal, and they've extended their sale, giving you 50% off all windows, along with 0% interest for 5 full years.
Plus, when you schedule an estimate now at Window Nation, you'll get a bonus 10% off. Are
Are your old windows ready to handle the summer heat? If you're tired of paying high utility bills for air conditioning this summer, your windows aren't efficient, that's a big deal.
And with Window Nation's semi-annual sale, you can replace your windows and save a big deal too. Hurry! The month of June only, you get 50% off all windows, plus 0% interest for 5 full years, and that bonus savings offer when you schedule your appointment today.
So hurry! The sale ends June 30th. Schedule a fast, no obligation, in-home estimate with the pros at Window Nation. Don't miss your chance to save. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Make the call. Look them up. All you got to do, just tell Mullion Haw sent you.
Hit and Run with Matt Spiegel. Sundays, 9 a.m. to noon.
Armstrong lines a base hit to right. He's going to think three. Coming in to score is Swanson. Big Pro Armstrong loses his helmet. He's hit second. He's on his way to third. He's got a standing triple. Cubs lead 5-0.
Folks, every once in a while, you get a sprinter as a baseball player who is jaw-dropping. And Pete Crow Armstrong, watching that dude run is really, really fun. He's super aggressive on the base paths, as you know. And when it's a triple like that, or scoring from first on the Tomas Nito double, when, I mean, that was an interesting read by PCA, a tough read, and he was aggressive because dude defaults to aggressive. A lot of mustard on that hot dog. But man, whew, I enjoy watching that dude run. I would like him to hit line drives to center or the opposite field and not try to slug at the big league level. I would like him to not bunt when there's a man on second with two outs, as there was before that triple. He showed bunt with was it Dansby on second?
I forgot he did that. He did.
What in the world? What are the two outs, man? Two outs. Dude on second. There's four runs in already. Try to drive it another run. And then he does. And that's lovely. But yeah, but all of that said, I like watching that guy play center field and run the bases. This is Lucas in Fox River Grove on with me, Matt Spiegel, here on Hit and Run. What do you say, Lucas? Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Matt. How you doing?
I'm wonderful.
And again, very nice to speak to you again, sir. You're like I always say, a freaking treasure of the baseball, in Chicago. Well, sir, I just wanted to talk about my recent experience in Detroit, and especially how the not really about the how the team is performing as far as the White Sox are concerned, because that's neither here nor there. More so how the fan base travels.
So was that yesterday? Was that yesterday or Friday?
No, the Friday game. The Friday game that I went to, and 24,000. And to be honest with you, my 10-year-old daughter is noticing about an hour into us walking the concourse. She's like, I haven't seen a White Sox jersey yet, or a hat, or anything. And we took another 15 minutes of spotting one. And there was absolutely a handful of us. And it was very, very small showing. But that obviously reflects on how the team is. But I think it's something worth mentioning. And as far as the town is concerned, Detroit, I know they're revitalizing and whatnot. But you know what? It is still, as the chant goes, Detroit sucks.
Thank you, Lucas. Appreciate it. Not a lot of White Sox fans traveling. That makes sense. Not a lot of White Sox fans going to games. There are reasons to be positive, and we've touched on some of the starting pitching. But yeah, we're going to get back to that game, that specific game, Friday, later on, because there was a broadcaster trying to toe the line at the end of that game, and I thought he did a great job. So we'll play it later on, maybe in our final hour. This is Jack in Wilmette on 670 The Score. Good morning, Jack.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. How are you?
Okay, I was born in New York, and I actually saw the first pitch that Willie Mays ever was thrown, and of course the last one, because it was on television in a World Series. He wasn't the best baseball player I've ever seen. He was the best athlete I've ever seen. I'm 83 years old. I've seen everybody. Hmm. My Mount Rushmore, and by the way, I was a Dodger fan, and in those days, it was like the gangs of New York. Those two teams hated each other. I mean, it really wasn't like a Yankee-Red Sox thing, okay? This was total hate. Mm-hmm. It was unbelievable. So for me to, you know, eventually realize he was the greatest player I ever saw, you know, really means something. Hmm. But
who's your Rushmore? I like it, Jack. You've got good cred. You've got good baseball bona fides to give us your Mount Rushmore.
My Mount Rushmore. I'm going to forget Babe Ruth because I didn't see him.
Okay,
and I really didn't see Ted Williams. It's Willie Mays. It's Mickey Mantle, who would have been as good as Willie Mays, if not for his injuries.
Mm-hmm.
He played hurt all the time, and he drank, and he caroused. He spent half of his career doing the wrong thing. But it was Mantle, Mays, Aaron. The greatest pitcher I ever saw was Sandy Koufax. And I have to put the greatest catcher I ever saw was Johnny Bench. So that's my...
It's your Rushmore, as the caller brought us to earlier on in the hour. Jack, thank you. Thanks for listening. Love the world of knowledge and experience that you are bringing to the conversation. It's good stuff. It is Hit and Run here. It is Matt Spiegel here with you on 670 The Score. But this is good fun today. There's a lot of different realms we could go down and swim in. We could have dived or dove. We could take a dive. I'll work it out. I'll still figure it out. In the meantime, I'm going to bring in our friend Lawrence Holmes next on Hit and Run. Bob Costas in an hour. Colton Brewer of the Cubs at 10:30 here on The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now. From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.